How concerned are you at the rise in the number of mobile phone masts that are springing up all over London? There are 47 million mobile phones in circulation around the UK, and obviously we need mobile phone masts and bases to make sure they work. But what are the health implications for us and for future generations? Is there any evidence to support the growing concern that many of us have about them? This afternoon we're going to investigate this with the help of Dr. Gerard Hyland, Associate Fellow from the University of Warwick, who's investigated this issue in a number of reports. Aidan Brown, Director of Professional Services at Mono Consultants, who act on behalf of the mobile phone operators and equipment vendors. A little later on, we're going to be talking to Ingrid Dickinson, Director of Scientific Studies at Mast Action, which is a public organisation concerned about the issue. And we're also joined in a moment by Mike Dolan from the Mobile Phone Operators Association and Dr. Michael Clark, Scientific Media Spokesperson for the National Radiological Protection Board. My goodness, what a busy afternoon. Let's start off with you, Aidan. First of all, there is a difference, isn't there, between mobile phone masts and mobile phone base stations.
Correct, yes, there is.
What is the difference?
The masts themselves actually house the equipment and they support the actual base stations themselves. The base stations are also known as cells. They cover the specific area or intended target area, and it is the actual mast that supports that.
Right, so it's the base stations we really need,
yep.
And then the masts that just kind of take on the signal, as it were.
Correct.
Is that right? And why do we need more?
You have, well, recently there was the award of 3G licenses. They're different frequencies.
These are the new mobile phones that are just coming.
Correct, yes, the third generation mobile phones. They operate at different frequencies from the existing networks, which are also in existence. They have different coverage capability, the size of the actual cells, as it were. And so there's a need to infill. There's also another issue which a lot of the operators are concerned with, which is quality of service. So when you get the network busy on your mobile phone, there's issues in terms of the number of users that can actually go through a base station.
Right. And why are they hidden sometimes behind street signs and shop fronts and things like that, as though actually there is something to be worried about?
Yeah, it's sort of the devil you are or the devil you aren't. I mean, you can't really get away from this one. There's an aesthetics situation here whereby a lot of people don't want to see the actual installations, but then another lot of people are actually concerned about what they can see. In the case of a listed building, you wouldn't want to have antennas all over the building, and therefore aesthetically pleasing designs that would equally support, you know, on a listed building as well as a mast or another type of building, would be the sort of the approach that we would take. Obviously, there's a lot of work to be done to actually secure an actual installation on such a building, but you know, we have to sort of work within the planning guidelines to actually achieve it, and it's not always achievable.
And what about masts which are still being built on schools when a precautionary approach has been adopted?
The planning system, and certainly the Stewart report, which was one of the major sort of consultative packages of work that that took place a number of years ago.
Well, which is where Sir William said that he would not allow his grandchildren, for example, to use mobile phones. Not talking about mobile phone masks, but...
A personal choice.
Mm.
A personal choice. There's obviously tremendous benefits from mobiles as well. The number of people equally that are being found in the Scottish Highlands because they had their mobile phone with them. So there are benefits from it, and I think actually today they were talking about actually texting truant children on their mobile phones.
Although texting, of course, they do say is less of an issue than actually using the mobile phone. But actually, for the mobile phone bases, which is what we're talking about today, what about the health? Is living near a base station bad for your health?
I would probably have to defer to my more learned colleagues in the scientific industry on that one. Needless to say, I'd have to say probably not, but there is no scientific evidence that I have been informed of that would actually precipitate sort of an argument in against the actual installations.
Well, we've got Dr. Gerard Hyland on the phone from the Associate Fellow at the University of Warwick and member of the International Institute of Biophysics in Neuss in Germany. What's your take on this?
Well, my take is that the public is only protected against what, in the case of base stations, is not really a problem, namely getting overheated. The public is not protected against effects which are contingent upon the aliveness of their body, such as their nervous system, their heart and such like, which can get interfered with in a totally non-thermal way by the type of radiation that comes out of the mast. And there's abundant evidence of many people becoming ill. But of course not everybody will be affected, and what might affect you may not affect your husband. So it's difficult to argue in favour of an established adverse health risk of a non-thermal kind.
How can you get interfered with them? In what way? I mean, how would it manifest itself?
Well, if you think of our bodies as a bit like a factory, and certain components, in our case chemicals, have to be in certain places at certain times in order to keep the whole thing flowing and organised in an efficient way. In our case, if that doesn't happen, we become ill. Now, the release of these chemicals and other signals is electrical. So I think the problem is to think of our bodies as simply a bag of chemistry, of chemicals, because when we're ill, we take a pill. But our bodies, when we're in good condition, the chemistry is regulated, the very delicate balance is regulated in a very fine-tuned way. And this is regulated through electrical signals. And the point is that these signals can get interfered with in a way similar to radio reception by the signals from the phone mast. This is exactly the reason why one is banned from using mobile phones on planes and hospitals. It's not because of fear of overheating an instrument. It's because of electromagnetic interference.
So how would you get ill? In what way would you get ill if you're if you had electromagnetic interference?
Well, if, for example, you upset the balance of a neurohormone called melatonin, which is important to regulate the day-night cycle, the circadian cycle, it's also a hormone that protects against cancer, especially breast cancer in women, and this is maximally released about 2 o'clock in the morning. But it's only released if you're in darkness. Now, the pineal gland that releases this doesn't always know whether the body is in darkness or light, because it gets fooled because of the radiation. The invisible microwave radiation acts on the pineal gland as if the pineal gland was in daylight, and then it doesn't release the protective hormone called melatonin. That's one example, and there's many others I could give.
So would you say then that there are certain people who are predisposed to have a problem with a base or mast? I mean, for example, women of a certain age, or perhaps children, the elderly, the ill?
Well, it is difficult to identify ab initio the most vulnerable, but quite generally one would identify children, because their nervous system is still developing, not all connections, all the electrical connections in the brain haven't sort of settled down in a stable form, and these are vulnerable to being interfered with electromagnetically. Also, their cells are undergoing an increased rate of cell division because they're still growing, and it is known that microwave radiation can interfere with things as fundamental as cell division and such like. And so, yes, the very young, this is sort of pre-adolescent, and of course the old, who have compromised immune robustness, may already be on certain kinds of medication with which there can be a symbiotic effect with the microwave radiation, can actually potentiate the effect of drugs, and some of the drugs can potentiate the effect of microwave radiation. So that is another area that needs to be guarded against.
Gerard Hyland, Associate Fellow at the University of Warwick and a member of the International Institute of Biophysics in Neuss in Germany. How close to masts or bases do you consider it to be a possible problem?
That's not a very well-defined question, with all due respect, because how far you've got to weigh to get below a certain level obviously depends on how powerful the base station is, what the lie of the land is, how the antennas are orientated, and a number of other things. The best one can do at the present is to conform to a exposure level. If this was a light, this would be how bright it was, effectively, which was decided at an international, the first international conference on base stations and public health, which was held in June 2000 in Salzburg. And this identified a level which one should keep below in order to avoid any obvious health effects. One can only, obviously, based on experience of health problems one's already had at higher exposure intensities, but if one keeps below this value that was identified in the Salzburg resolution, then that's the best one can do. Now, how far you have to be away from a base station before that low level is realised, as I said before, depends on the how strong the base station is, how many signals it's emitting, and so on.
And if at the moment you lived near one of these base stations, is there any way that you could protect yourself from these from the radiation?
Well, there's a number of strategies one can apply. Firstly would be to line your room with effectively something like Bakelite. You can get a kind of wallpaper for putting behind radiators, which is silver on one side, and you stick it to the wall on the other side. So cover the walls that would be facing at least the base station. That would reduce the intensity inside your room. And then there's a certain kind of curtaining material you can buy, which would screen anything that can, well, not anything, but it would reduce significantly the amount of radiation entering through the windows.
Aidan Brown, who is in the studio, Director of Professional Services at Mono Consultants, who act on behalf of mobile phone operators and equipment vendors. Is there another way of actually making mobile phones work whilst there is more research into this?
Not that I'm aware of. We're dealing with networks. We're not dealing with... we're dealing with sites in isolation, but we have to understand they're also part of a network. They operate, they interact, and they operate together in order to give the blanket coverage that we need for them to function. If you take individual sites out, then you end up with holes in the network, and in some instances you will lose coverage in a wide area. I'm not aware of any other way of functioning.
How does the mobile phone industry respond to the research that has come up about the way that radiation can adversely affect humans?
The operators obviously themselves would have to answer that question, I would have thought, but certainly we have literature that we can distribute as freely available. The industry itself is conscious of the potential pitfalls within it if it's not operating correctly, and part of that was the Stewart report and the recommendations and the 10 commitments, as we call them, to undertake the due consultation within the planning system so that the actual siting and location of the sites is as aesthetically pleasing and as well as properly located. There will always be issues within that, but on a site-specific basis, we'd have to address them.
How many more masts can we expect to be erected, do you think, in future years? I mean, you talked earlier on about these the latest phones, the 3G phones. Does that mean that we're going to see a whole load more, or actually that we're going to see a whole load less, and you could actually even see masks being taken away?
Indeed, we do actually have quite a number of sites, and one of our remits as a company is actually taking down sites at the moment. We can see existing sites being upgraded, and indeed I think equipment will be substituted or removed within those existing base stations. As technology improves, we can see perhaps the masts becoming smaller or maybe larger, I don't know. We have to wait and see, but certainly equipment will have to come out and probably the number of antennas would be reduced. But I think that's probably more from an aesthetics point of view.
Well, we're joined now as well in the studio with by Ingrid Dickinson, Director of Scientific Studies at Mast Sanity Voluntary Group. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
And we're just talking about the number of phone masts and base stations going up around London. What's your view on these?
Well, I'm very concerned about that, especially as they are very close proximity to apartments and flats, especially the high-rise buildings are basically straightly irradiated with these antennae. I want to highlight the HESA project and the Freiburg appeal, which actually HESA Mast Sanity is coming under the umbrella of HESA. And HESA is a group of doctors in EGOMET. HESA is actually run by EGOMET, which is a group of doctors in Germany. And they have brought out the Freiburg appeal and they collected signatures. And the Freiburg appeal actually, if I could just quote from it, it's very important. It actually asks for a halt to the present rollout before alternative methods are found. Out of great concern for the health of our fellow human beings, we do, as established physicians of all fields, especially that of environmental medicine, turn to the medical establishment and those in public health and political domains, as well as to the public. We have observed in recent years a dramatic rise in severe and chronic diseases amongst our patients, especially learning, concentration and behavioral disorders, attention deficit disorder, extreme fluctuations in blood pressure, ever harder to influence with medications, heart rhythm disorders, heart attacks and strokes amongst an increasingly younger population, brain degenerative diseases like Alzheimer's and epilepsy, cancerous afflictions, leukemia, brain tumors. Moreover, we have observed an ever-increasing occurrence of various disorders, often misdiagnosed in patients as psychosomatic. Headaches, migraines, chronic exhaustion, inner agitation, sleeplessness, daytime sleepiness, tinnitus, susceptibility to infection, nervous and connective tissue pains, for which the usual causes do not explain even the most conspicuous symptoms. Since the living environment and lifestyles of our patients are familiar to us, we can see, especially after careful directed inquiry, a clear temporal and spatial correlation between the appearance of disease and exposure to pulsed high-frequency microwave radiation, such as installation of a mobile telephone sending station in the near vicinity, intensive mobile telephone use, installation of digital cordless or DECT telephone at a home or in the neighborhood. We can no longer believe that this is purely coincidence, for too often do we observe a marked concentration of particular disease in correspondingly high-frequency microwave radiation polluted areas or apartments. Too often does a long-term disease or affliction improve or disappear in a relatively short time after reduction or elimination of HFMR pollution in the patient's environment. Too often are our observations confirmed by on-site measurements of HFMR or unusual intensity. Hmm. Now, this is signed by, in the moment, 1,000 German medical doctors have signed this. 30,000 people in Germany have signed it, and 5,000 from abroad. This is an international appeal. Now, I'm very concerned that there aren't enough scientists such as Dr. Hyland in this country who are dealing with this, who are looking at health problems. Dr. Hyland so far is really the only one who's looking at it seriously in this country. He also is governed by the HESA.
Dr. Hyland, why is it that there are... Is that actually accurate, that there are no others?
There's one or two other people I could identify, yes, but I seem to attract the most attention.
but there are very few of you then who are looking into this.
Oh yes, you count them on one hand. Yes.
And why is that, do you think?
Maybe there's a lack of sort of the appropriate background to synthesise the different disciplines that are necessary to obtain a sort of holistic approach, rather than a deductive analytical one, which is what's wrong with the present way of looking at the thing. We have to regard the body as a whole entity in itself, and each time we find something, just like just another piece in a jigsaw, and it's all got to fit together into a coherent whole. And it's this overview of the situation. We need to stand back from ourselves and try and look in to get a holistic impression of what's going on, and only then can we appreciate that radiation at the very low levels near a base station can, in some people, cause health problems. Like, one will be told the levels are very, very low, but if you look at what was there before, they are billions of times higher than what God put there and in which life has evolved. So the natural environment, electromagnetically, has been radically altered in an evolutionary very short period of time. And this is why some people's bodies cannot cope with it and they become ill.
Aidan, you act on behalf of mobile phone operators and equipment vendors. Why could there not be a halt to the present rollout of base stations and masts until there is a little more knowledge?
There's clearly commercial pressures. You know, a lot of money has been spent on this. The operators will want to see a return on that money. I think perhaps at the beginning we should maybe have a look at why they were actually issued the license of issue in the first place. If there was concern previously and there's concern now, then perhaps, you know, we shouldn't be pointing the finger necessarily directly at the operators, but we need to look even further afield and say, well, who's actually authorised this? It's not for me to decide now. We operate within our company and within the guidelines that are set down for us. Certainly there are design issues which are being constantly addressed. No site is always perfect at any one time, and there are things that can be done to improve. One of our remits is to go around improving, whether it's hatches on roofs or whether it's, as you've said earlier, on antennas on the side of a building. We have a remit to go around and bring these up to the standards. I believe the Salzburg resolution, I think we're talking now about sort of what we call the ICNIRP compliance certificates, which we're obliged to submit for all new designs and indeed for any upgraded sites. So if, as I said earlier on, we are upgrading sites, those sites too have to come up to the standard and be brought up to it.
Now we're joined on the line now by Mike Dolan, Mobile Phone Operators Association. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
How does the mobile phone industry respond to this research suggesting there could be real problems for those living near phone bases?
This is a body of research that has been extensively reviewed by independent scientific panels around the world over the past several years. Here in the UK in 2000 there was a group called the Stewart Group. It was made up of 10 independent scientists from universities around the country and chaired by Sir William Stewart, a former chief science advisor to the government. And they looked at the issue of base stations, and what they said was that the balance of evidence indicates there is no general risk to the health of people living near base stations on the basis that exposures are expected to be small fractions of the guidelines. Now, one of the things they also recommended was that the Radio Communications Agency, an independent agency of government, carry out an audit of base stations around the country, and they've been doing that for the past 2.5 years. They've done something in the order of about 240 base stations, and the highest reading that's been found is almost 300 times lower than the international guidelines.
But is it not true that they also said they needed more research?
They did say that there was more research needed generally into the issue, and that relates to right across the spectrum. It's not just base stations, it's phones as well, because there are still some questions that need to be better answered. But they were very robust in their conclusions in relation to base stations, because they are so much below the guidelines.
Well, Dr. Michael Clark, scientific media spokesperson for the National Radiological Protection Board, is also on the line. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Well, that sounds okay then, doesn't it?
Well, there are uncertainties in the evidence, but what Mike Dolan has said is broadly correct. The uncertainties about the health effects from mobile phones relate more to the use of the handsets and the masks, because we've all been exposed to low-level radio frequencies in the environment, for example, from your good selves. You are radiating now out radio frequencies, so people can hear things on the radio. There has been a background of FM radio, and TV signals are radio frequencies in the microwave region next door to the mobile phone frequencies. That's been around. We've known about radio waves for over 100 years. What is new is millions of us holding small transmitters close to our heads, and inside our heads is a very sensitive organ, the brain.
But what about this, we had Ingrid Dickinson, who Director of Scientific Studies at Mass Sanitary Voluntary Group, was saying that it cannot be a coincidence, for example, that near base stations there's been a severe rise in learning difficulties, in concentration, ADD, blood pressure, strokes, heart attacks, Alzheimer's, cancers, headaches, etc., which can't be explained.
Oh, well, does that mean you've got to automatically blame the new kid on the block, you know, which is the mobile phone mast? Yeah, I think one's got to be very careful of making claims about health effects if you're not sure, because people do get alarmed. I think, you know, obviously a campaigning group wants to protect the environment from lots of masks everywhere, and I'm a citizen too, and, you know, you can see why campaigning groups may want to do that, but I would caution them to be cautious about making claims about health effects when scientists and medics have looked at this over the world, looked at all the literature, including the ideas, say, by Gerard Hyland. You know, he presented, Dr. Hyland presented evidence to the Stewart Committee, and they weren't convinced by it. There was a French report about a year afterwards that was aware of these ideas, and they weren't impressed by it. The scientific and medical consensus is there's no evidence of any health effect at the sort of, because you're 10,000 times below guideline levels.
Ingrid, there's no convincing evidence.
Well, firstly, the Freiburg appeal goes on to say that too often does the long-term disease or affliction improve or disappear in a relatively short time after reduction or elimination of HFMR pollution in the patient's environment. Now that answers your first remark. Secondly, I'd like to actually tell you about a list of scientists that have signed up to the Freiburg Appeal. Professor Dr. Klaus Buchner.
I don't think we probably haven't got time to go through the list of all the people, but I tell you what we... So, Aidan, you wanted to say something.
Like we've quoted this Freiburg Appeal twice. It's fairly new to me. I mean, apart from that one, are there other areas that we could talk about other than I accept it's obviously of importance, but there might be other ones, or maybe there are not. Is this the only one?
I tell you what, if we just leave it for just a second, because we've got Irene from Catford ringing in. Now, you're opposed to mobile phone bases, I understand.
Well, yes, I am, because I had a fire come around the house and I joined a group. And when I looked on the internet, I was absolutely appalled at what could happen to the body through these mobile phones. I saw the Stewart report on the internet, and some of the things that they said were, they said that the text of this page comprises a summary of the recommendation section of Chapter 1 of the report. Part of the report says that the government has in place national guidelines established by the National Radiological Protection Board on the maximum levels of exposure to RF radiation emitted from mobile phones, base stations, and other sources, and these guidelines were established in 1993, when mobile phone technology was in its infancy. At the time the guidelines were drawn up, they established adverse effects of those caused by the heating of tissues. But, I mean, I agree with the scientist who spoke earlier, and he's said it all for me, because, as far as I'm concerned, what he said is true, because I really, really studied this after I found out. I was just taking it very lightly. I thought, oh, another fly through the door. When I actually looked into it, it seems to me that even though that the Stewart report didn't take it deep seriously, they did say that one should have a precautionary attitude to things. In other words, they didn't know for sure, and in fact, in my opinion, you can't know for sure until about 10 years or 20 years have elapsed, because you don't know the long-term effects of this on the human body.
So you're not mollified at all by the fact that no scientific evidence at the moment, there is no scientific evidence that you could be affected by?
There is scientific evidence. The fact is that all those German doctors in Germany have signed these forms and have signed against it. They're doctors. They know what they're talking about. They are scientific. That is evidence. It's not evidence in the formalized form of a government edict.
Irene, thank you very much for calling in. Actually, I know that Dr. Gerard Hyland wants to come back in at this particular point. Gerard?
Yes, a number of things have been raised about exposure to radio and television signals. This is true, but it is not true there's no health problems in the first place. And secondly, the kind of emission is quite different. It is that these emissions are not pulsed at frequencies that the brain and the neuroendocrine system can recognise. Now, concerning health effects near base stations, there have now been some medical investigations on measuring certain neutrophil levels. These are components in the immune system of people who live very near to base stations. And the neutrophil levels, which are there to protect us against problems, is a kind of scavenger that goes around engulfing bacteria that would otherwise cause health problems, are very severely reduced. Now, when the same people go away from the vicinity, the levels go back up. When they come back, they go down again. This has also been found in the case of cattle, who become emaciated, the milk yield goes down, they become very ill, they move to a farm well away from a mobile phone antenna, they get better. Now, cows don't know the difference between a base station and a television station. Yes, so these are not psychosomatic. And in addition, there's at least now two published epidemiological papers reporting adverse health effects which correlate with distances from GSM base stations, one in Spain and one in France.
Right, if we can go to Dr. Michael Clark, it sounds like you're blinding us with science then. There isn't a comparison between radio and television. It's no wonder we all get slightly confused and we don't believe anybody.
Well, ultimately it is, of course, a matter of trust, and we have to keep an open mind. There is a chance the ideas of Dr. Hyland is right, and I'm not going to dismiss it. But what I'm saying is that, you know, there's good science, there's the science of ideas, there's middling science, and there's bad science. What has happened is expert groups have looked at it all, and they've looked in this country, the Stewart Report, the same France, in the Netherlands, in Sweden, the USA, and they've all come to the same conclusion.
All right, well, Ingrid just wants to say one quick word before we go to travel.
Yeah, can I just refer to a report of the Department of Human Genetics and Molecular Medicine in Tel Aviv. Exposure to human peripheral blood lymphocytes to electromagnetic fields associated with cellular phones leads to chromosomal instability.
We've got Adil on the phone from Richmond. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Penny. Lovely show.
Thank you.
Just a quick point. These discussions, especially from the mobile phone and the mask companies, echo very similar to those of the tobacco giants when they were saying there's no link between lung cancer and tobacco. And it all boils down to economics at the end of the day. There's billions riding on this industry, and they're not going to give it up lightly. But, you know, are we going to wait until thousands more die before, you know, 10 years down the line they're going to have another kitty to give out billions to people in compensation?
Okay. Adil, thank you very much. Good point. The one I should put straight to Mike Dolan, the Mobile Phone Operators Association. Mike?
Well, there are very great differences between this industry and the tobacco industry. This is the most watched body of science, I think, in the world today. And certainly I do represent the mobile operator companies, but no one else on your program does. And Dr. Michael Clark is with the National Radiological Protection Board. They're an independent statutory advisor to the government on these issues. I think it's very open and transparent. The World Health Organization has an EMF project that looks at this science very, very closely. So you've got scientists all around the world coming up with a consensus that you've heard from Dr. Clark. And so I think it's good that this science is closely watched by everyone, including the media, and that's why we're more than happy to take part in this kind of a discussion.
Are you saying, though, that you're not worried at all that in the future this isn't going to turn around and bite you?
Let's put it in the context at the moment, Penny. There are 50 million mobile phone users in the UK at the moment. That's 75% of the population. And without mobile phone base stations in the right places, that is where people want to use their phones, then the phones won't work and we'll have dropped calls. So the population at large has taken to this technology very much. It's a very popular form of communication. And as Dr. Michael Clark was saying earlier, the
for instance, the emissions that you'd get from your phone are probably about 100 times higher than you'd ever get from a base station.
But it's not really an excuse, is it? Because we want to use our mobile phones, therefore we've got to have base stations no matter what.
But if you had a situation where the health authorities were saying, look, there is a real danger here, then the health authorities would be putting out warnings and would be telling people not to use their phones.
Ingrid, do you want to come at this point?
Well, I'm surprised that you keep on mentioning this research, this worldwide research. Who sponsored that research? Because I've been looking at research since 1995, and I've got a wealth of research that actually says exactly the opposite. For example, do you know that in 1986, 15-year research participated, universities participated on a 15-year research initiated by the U.S. Army Medical Command. They found EMF accelerated cell proliferation, electromagnetic fields, that is EMF enhanced gene expression, reduced neurotransmitter levels, cellular stress, reduced brain enzyme activity, enhanced growth enzyme activity, stress protein levels, embryo abnormalities. And, you know, I'm surprised that nobody is questioning the fact that in the last 5 years, embryo abnormalities have risen by 50%.
So, Ingrid, what are you saying that the government... I mean, what are you saying is the government's stance on this, then? Are you saying they're just ostriches with their heads in the sand, or what?
Well, they're not looking at the real effect anyway. They haven't... The IGNAP guidelines do not look at the pulsed effect. They look at the heat effect. So we're not looking at the right effect.
Is that right, Dr. Gerard Hyland?
There's absolutely no question. The guidelines are complied with by many factors of 1,000. But that's looking, as Ingrid said, is looking in the wrong place. That simply stops us from getting heating, and that's not going to... Heat overheated, and that's not going to happen. It's the information in the signals. You can send the same Morse code message with a dimly flashing light as a strong one. As the same information, I am on the radio, I am on the radio. Exactly the same information in both those signals. And it is the ability of the alive human organism to be able to detect and in turn respond to these non-thermal levels of radiation as the root of the problem, which is not being addressed.
So why is the World Health Organization not doing more? I mean, if that's the case, Mike Dolan says the World Health Organization has given the guidelines and they abide by them.
Well, that's a most appalling scandal if you look into the details of the World Health Organization, who are going around the world encouraging nations with more sensible, stringent limits to up their exposure levels to bring them into harmony with the West. Obviously in the interest of market forces. Why must the harmonisation be to higher exposure, not lower?
Mike Dolan. Hello, Mike. I think we've lost Mike Dolan actually on the line. But
hello?
Yes, Mike, sorry. I was just wondering if you could actually respond to that. Dr. Gerard Hyland is appalled that the World Health Organization is trying to bring the limit up to the West and says it's absolutely down to economics.
Well, the World Health Organization is a highly respected body and has many 137 member states around the world and very eminent respected scientists on it. Dr. Hyland, of course, is entitled to express a viewpoint, but I'm sure that viewpoint isn't shared by many other scientists around the world.
Ingrid, would you like to come in here?
Here we come again. You know, you keep on mentioning, I'd like you to send me a list of the scientists and who sponsored their research, because you keep on saying... extensive research and not mentioning the actual researchers.
But Ingrid, you've mentioned 100 scientists in Germany, but I've not heard you mention any other scientists.
No. When I started the list, no, I didn't mention 100 scientists. I mentioned that 1,000 German doctors signed the Freiburg Appeal. But there are a lot of scientists who now have actually affiliated themselves with the HESA project.
But I'm just in defense, you've not mentioned them either. So,
well, I was mentioning them when you said I should really.
And have we,
we had to go to the
dismissed
club.
All other aspects of this? I mean, could it be water to account for abnormalities? I mean, there's a lot of talk at the moment about what's in our water systems.
In the last 5 years.
Why are we focusing on cellular mass and not other environmental factors?
Because, as I already mentioned, when I talked about the research, the 15-year research, from the U.S. Army Medical Command, one of the effects mentioned here by the Catholic University in America is EMF-enhanced growth enzyme activity, stress protein levels, and embryo abnormalities.
Doctor, if I can just bring in Dr. Gerald Hyland there, actually, at this point. I mean, Aidan just sort of said, Could it be something to do with the water, for example? Could it be something? And we heard from Dr. Michael Clark saying we could just be blaming the new kid on the block without the evidence to support it.
Well, that could well have been the case if there was not other scientific evidence on the basis of laboratory studies of the kinds of effects the radiation has under laboratory-controlled conditions that display a certain consistency with the kinds of health problems people report. They're not reporting warts on their feet or diarrhea. They're usually neurological problems, memory, sleeping, headaches, anxiety, this type of thing, which is perfectly consistent with the known effects the radiation has on the electrical activity of the brain and on the brain electrochemistry.
Mm. Mike Dolan, I'm just on a purely personal level. I mean, I presume you'd be happy with your house having a mobile phone base at the bottom of the garden, would you?
I have a reasonable knowledge of this literature, even though I'm not a scientist. I would have no difficulties at all in having a base station anywhere near where I live. My family and I will use mobile phones. We appreciate the technology, and we realise that you need base stations so it'll work properly.
Okay, if you've got any calls, don't forget to, if you've got any comments rather, don't forget to give us a call, 0870 90 90 973, text 80023, or email comment at lbc.co.uk. Now, we've had a call in from Carl from Maydevale. Actually, I don't quite understand this question. What about Bluetooth headsets? Does that mean anything to you, Aidan?
Yes, I wouldn't profess to be an expert on it either, but Bluetooth technology is effectively a wireless system whereby your mobile phone might communicate direct with your laptop computer or other items like that. So in this instance, you could have your phone sitting on your desk and perhaps a headset, and you can wander around the office picking up the actual the signals from your phone without actually having to have your phone directly beside your head.
But that's to do with mobile phones as opposed to base stations, which is what we're talking about.
Correct.
Okay, Ingrid, you're still not even remotely convinced, are you?
No, I'm afraid not. Not at all. I'm very concerned, and I think we're going to look at a worldwide crisis similar to BSE, but obviously much worse because much more people are involved now.
Is that what you're, and Dr. Gerald Hyland, presumably you're continuing with your research, and you will be continuing with your research for many years to come?
Yes, unfortunately, one's got to keep chipping away in the hope that eventually sense will prevail.
Good afternoon to you, Gavin.
Good afternoon.
So what's been happening in Lewisham?
Well, we've had a very interesting case, actually. We've been campaigning really more on and off for about the last 8 years. The most recent application, which is a joint application from Vodafone and Hutchinson 3G, has been for a sizable number of antenna and a couple of base stations situated within a Grade 2 listed water tower in the Ladywell area, which sort of is between Catford and Lewisham. We've been fighting this now, and with some relative success, but we've still had difficulty convincing that various sort of councillors and planning committees and so on that it's the health risk that is the one that is really the one that we're concerned about, and that more weight ought to be put on perceived or real risks that these installations might pose to the general public. And I think in particular because of the case up in North London, where I think it's sort of around the Islington area, where I haven't been privy to the conversation, so I'm at work at the moment, but that there's been a cluster of cancers which have been connected, attributed to a mast which was situated in the north of London about 5-6 years ago, and a considerable number of people have contracted various types of cancers, particularly leukemia and brain hemorrhages, which have been attributed to the sighting of those masts in that area.
Well, if you just down the line for a moment, because Dr. Michael Clark, how do you respond then to somebody like Gavin Jones, who's campaigning at the moment not to have a mast in Lewisham because of this incident in the Islington area, this unexplained cancer cluster?
Well, first of all, of course, he has every right to campaign against the mast. You know, he's a citizen and this is a free country.
Yes, but on health reasons.
Not against that. But we're back to the trust thing again, and it goes back to some of the previous things that he's not been able to hear about. There are a lot of claims about health effects. There are all sorts of things out there. One lady ringing in said, oh, she went on the internet and was scared to death. Well, there's an awful lot of rubbish on the internet. And That's why you need independent expert groups to look at all the evidence.
But you see, it does make it difficult. You can understand why people find it difficult when they look at, for example, I mean, even something like MMR. People worry because they've experienced things themselves. They don't trust scientists because they've seen conflicting research. Two scientists, one will say black and one will say white.
Well, it can be sometimes programs like this because you have two people proposing ideas and then two against. But in fact, if you look at the scientific and medical consensus about the health effects, it's 95-5 at least. Do you see what I mean? By providing balance, you're giving the impression that there's two sides to the story. The overwhelming evidence is...
Oh, wonder, can I come in here?
Yes, you can indeed, Gavin.
I think one of the things that we have been consistently saying is that because of the lack of evidence, and admittedly, and we accept fully as a residential group of about 3,000 people in the Lewisham area who are all opposed to this, that on the basis that there is no scientific evidence one way or the other, and until more is known, then we'll continue to oppose these sorts of installations.
Yes.
Because we always argue the fact that, you know, it's all well and good putting up a mast and saying, well, everything's fine, and if it isn't, then, you know, further down the years, and we find out, in fact, this was a substantial health risk, then we'll do something about it. But as far as we're aware, you know, situations where people have leukemia, brain hemorrhage, and so on, there's no known cure for this. And I think that is too little too late.
Well, what I'd say is that with radio waves being around for over 100 years, if such dramatic health effects were due to radio waves, shouldn't we have seen them in radio and TV?
Well, this is very true, but yes. Dr. Clark, you have to admit that here, I mean, this is where, you know, we lose a number of people, admittedly, but, you know, we have to talk about the kinds of frequencies and the type of radio waves. And I think that to equate television waves and waves from microwaves and so on is very misleading, because we all know, that, or at least we should all know, that the kind of microwave frequencies that we're talking about here are very sympathetic, very similar to those used by the human brain, and this is the issue. Those sorts of microwaves, which are given out by televisions and radios and so on, are very different frequencies, and therefore not thought to be harmful.
You know, that may be true. There are some uncertainties. But I think
until we know more, surely we should follow the Stewart report, follow the precautionary approach, and
without having evidence. People worry about their health. I think if you're going to make claims that mobile phones at Mars are causing cancer in an area, I think you've got to be pretty sure you're correct.
I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is that I think we should abide by the Stewart report and say, let's take a precautionary approach. Let's wait and see. We're talking about the installation in this particular case of 3G technology. Much more powerful technology, much less useful in terms of, you know, its public use and in terms of emergency services and so on.
Gavin, we have to leave it there because I'm just going to ask for one comment from all the people who've been contributing. Gavin, thank you very much. Gavin Jones there, involved in a possible Lewisham mast, been battling there. Let's just go round, and Aidan Brown, Director of Professional Services at Mono Consultants, acting on behalf of mobile phone operators and equipment vendors. Your final point on this?
I would say that until sort of further guidance is given to us, we can only act within the international standards that we have, within the planning guidelines that we have, and we have to understand that there will be a degree of this NIMBY syndrome, this fear of precedent, wherever we go.
NIMBY as in not in my backyard.
Not in my backyard. And until, you know, we overcome those things, and it's going to be very difficult to do that, you know, there will be two different sets of people arguing over this. We can only progress matters under the current guidelines. Until such time as it changes, we'll carry on.
Mike Dolan, Mobile Phone Operators Association, your final point.
Again, to remind everyone, there are 50 million mobile phone users in this country, and without a network of base stations in the right places, those phones won't work.
Dr. Gerard Hyland?
It seems strange, this setup with regards to base stations. I can buy gas from an electric company and even from a phone company, but there's only one gas pipe that comes into my house. Why can't we have a single provider, which then one could have separate marketing outlets, as we do with electricity and gas, and that would well reduce the number of base stations.
Dr. Gerald Hanlon, thank you very much. Dr. Michael Clark.
I'm not for masks going up everywhere. We're independent of the industry. What I'm against
is claims made about health that have no founding. You know, people worry about their health, and I think people should be very sure about what they're saying if they make claims about health effects without proper evidence.
Ingrid Dickinson, Director of Scientific Studies at Mass Sanity Voluntary Group.
Can I finish with a quote directly from the Stewart Report? Mobile phones have not been in use for long enough to allow comprehensive epidemiological assessment of their impact on health, and we cannot at this stage exclude the possibility of some association between mobile phone technology and cancer. In view of widespread concern about this issue, continued research is essential.
Thank you very much to all our guests this afternoon, to Ingrid Dickinson, Aidan Brown, Dr. Gerald Hyland, Mike Dolan and Dr. Michael Clark.